In 1 Peter chapter 4 at verse 10, Peter says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." I want you to think with me for a little while this afternoon about the idea of stewardship. The word steward is defined as one having charge of another's possessions. Stewardship embraces and emphasizes service, as we noted there in 1 Peter 4 and verse 2. In John chapter 13 and verse 15, our Lord set the example for us in his earthly presence, his life of service, washing the disciples' feet, having no earthly home, and eventually his death on the cross. John 13 verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." There's nothing in our earthly existence that prepares us for our life as a Christian. The only way we can be prepared as a Christian is from what God says. The world says you just get yours while you can. There was a beer commercial one time that said you only go around once in life. Just grab for all the gusto that you can. Luke chapter 12 verse 18 phrases this way in regard to the man, the rich farmer, whose ground brought forth plentifully. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Then he said, "I'll say to my soul, that's much good laid up for many years. Eat that, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Just tear down your barns and build bigger barns. That's the way the world looks at things. As Christians, we must learn this lesson of stewardship in order for us to be of value to our Lord and our Master. So think about this idea of stewardship with me for just a little while. And let's begin by talking about why we are stewards. Our Master, Jesus Christ, has entrusted the kingdom to men. Jesus related this parable, Matthew 25, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. One gave 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. In thine the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thine the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid. And went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, that shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Stewardship. These men were entrusted with their master's goods, given according to their ability. Each one according to his several ability. 1:5, 1:2, 1:1. We must understand that stewardship is a position of honor. Being a Christian is a position of honor. We tend the kingdom as vessels of honor, servants. It's also a position of responsibility. Just as these servants that Jesus talked about here in this parable had to give an account, so shall we give an account in accordance with our ability. The word talent here in this particular account represents a sum of money. But this sum of money was given according to their ability. And to me, the idea involved in this is that of opportunity to do service for our master. We have opportunities to work. These men, two of them at least, worked. They put the money to lend it out so that they could receive interest. That's what the Lord said to the man that had one. He should have put his money to the exchangers, that at his coming he should have received his own with interest. Let his money work for him. They were responsible for that. As Christians, we are bought with a price. We owe our life, our spiritual life, literally, to Christ. We owe our physical life, obviously, to God, because God is the giver of life itself. We owe our spiritual life to Jesus Christ, because he bought us with his blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. We're redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed, we were bought back out of sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. So we belong to Jesus Christ. We're his, bought and paid for. We are bond servants. That requires stewardship on our part. Even though we are bond servants, it is a voluntary bond service. We give ourselves, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, beginning by verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, to whom ye obey? Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, whereas you were the servant of sin, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, that being then made free from sin, you became the servants of Jesus Christ. We yield ourselves to him as bond servants. It requires us to be stewards. But over what are we stewards? In our text, in 1 Peter chapter 4, there in verse 10, notice what Peter said. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards over what? Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold just means many-sided or many ports. If you have a manifold on the motor in your car, it has several different ports that furnishes the intake manifold, furnishes fuel into the motor itself so it could be burned and furnish power for your automobile. You have an exhaust manifold. It has many ports, depending on how many cylinders you have. That's the idea of a manifold, many-sided or many ports, many facets to this grace, this unmerited favor of God. So what are these many-sided or many ports, many facets of the grace of God? Let me suggest something to you. We have the grace of time. God has favored us with time. We don't know how much that will be. We don't know how long we're going to live on this earth. Scripture talks about 70, which is 70. And by reason of strength, we attain 80, which is 80. But George Humphrey made it well past that in the 90s. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but we have time here in this life. We are required to make good use of our time. Paul phrases it this way in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. He said, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The word circumspectly means looking all around, being aware of your surroundings. He followed this in verse 16 with the idea of redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming means making good use of. Some translations will render this buying back the time. It involves our attitude toward what we have and the time that we have. As Paul says in Colossians 4 verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Most of us think of time as belonging to ourselves. That's not true. We're given time to use, but it belongs to God. We simply must understand that time cannot be stored or saved. It can only be used. Matthew chapter 25, there's a story there of 10 virgins. 5 of them were said to be wise, and 5 were foolish. 5 of them took extra oil with them to wait for the bridegroom. When the bridegroom came, they trimmed their lamps and went in to meet the bridegroom. The foolish had not made proper preparation. Their lamps had gone out. They wanted the wise to give them their oil. And they said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Will you rather them that buy and sell? Buy for yourself." And after they went to get more oil, the bridegroom went in, the door was shut. They came asking to be allowed in. The door was shut. They had not made proper preparation. They hadn't used their time wisely. We have that grace of time. We also have the grace of ability. God has favored all of us with certain abilities. We don't all have the same ability. The difference is in ability. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 25, there verse 15. "And one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability." And straightway took his journey. As we studied in our Wednesday evening lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not out of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." There are absolutely no unimportant members in the body of Christ. We understand that all members do not have the same office. Paul in Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 4, said, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, or the same work, the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or minister, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Prophecy, verse 6, according to the proportion of faith. Ministry, verse 7. Wait on our ministry. Teaching, verse 7. Give attention to teaching. Teaching ability may be natural, or it may be acquired. Ministry, some people have a natural ability to minister, take care of people, serve people. Others, it has to be acquired. We don't have prophets today in the sense that people can foretell the future, but prophecy is also used in the sense of teaching, conveying God's word. We do that according to the proportion of our faith. We understand in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, elders are to be out to teach, a bishop, an overseer. It's required to be able to teach. We must understand that we as Christians have the gospel committed unto us. We need to be sowers of the seed. In Acts chapter 8 verse 4, the text says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. He talks in verse 8 of exhorting. Give attention to exhorting. Obviously some don't like exhortation. They sometimes call it meddling. We're not talking about meddling. We're talking about trying to encourage one another. Do what we can to help those who need encouragement, those who need attention, who need teaching. Paul said, Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Hebrews 10 verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We sometimes overlook that passage. We're talking about verse 25 in regard to our faithful attendance. But verse 24 is just as important. He said in verse 25, not forsaking, abandoning the assembling of yourselves together, as the habit of some is. But exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 24 said, let us consider one another to provoke and to love and good works. The idea of provoking is that of exhortation. He then, verse 8, he talks about giving with liberality. Someone says we need to give with threes. Give something, give by ability, give cheerfully. Certainly that's scriptural. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, that I give an order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. For the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in the store, as God is prospering, that there be no gathering when I come. Then, as he writes the second letter, in chapter 8, verse 12, for if there be first a willing man, is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. We give according to our ability. Some have the ability to give a lot, some have the ability to give a little. But we all have an ability to give some. As he said in chapter 9, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudging of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Giving with liberality. There's some things that Paul talked about here. He talked about ruling in verse 8 with diligence. The New King James Version has the word lead with diligence. Then also in verse 8, showing mercy. Do this with cheerfulness. You see, the kingdom of God elevates service and the servant. Those who are great in the kingdom are servants. In Matthew chapter 18, there beginning verse 1, disciples came to Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted to become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as greatest, in the kingdom of heaven. Then in chapter 23, verse 11, he said, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant. And obviously every one of us can do something. Those great in the kingdom of God are those who wait on the sick, who take care of kingdom business, those who teach and make the kingdom grow, those who would lead little ones closer to God, those who would perform selfless tasks, not looking for the praise that comes from men. Sometimes, as Jesus said, just giving a cup of water in the name of a disciple, you don't lose your reward. Just little things sometimes mean a great deal. And as a steward, we can all do something. We have the grace of ability. We also have the grace of influence. God has favored all of us with influence. There's not a single person living on the face of the earth anywhere that doesn't exert influence in some way, either good or bad. You think about that. You have an influence. I have an influence on someone, somewhere, at some time. It can be good, and hopefully it is, but it can be a bad influence. Parents, especially, ought to realize that children are placing their feet in the prints left by you. I remember literally when I was a youngster growing up, when we would be in the field, my dad would be plowing. And I would literally try to put my feet in his footprints. And I had to really stretch to put them in his footprints. Figuratively, your children are following in your footprints. Are those footprints ones that will lead them to the Lord or not? Many children, I'm convinced, are going to be lost as a result of indifferent parents. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, he were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." We shouldn't bring children into the world if we don't have the courage to raise them to be Christians. Now, I fully understand that some children make decisions on their own when they reach maturity and able to make their own decisions. Sometimes they decide to do what's not right. You remember the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. We'll not take the time to read all that entire passage, verses 11 through 32. The son came to his father and said, "Give me the inheritance that comes to me." His father gave it to him. And a few days later, he took that and went into a strange country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. He made a decision all on his own to use what he had in riotous living. But there came a time when he had to join himself to a citizen of that country, and he found himself feeding the hogs. He was so hungry, he was ready to eat that which he was feeding to the pigs. He came to himself. "How many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Now he decided to go back to his father and tell him, "Just make me as one of your hired servants. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant." You remember the story. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and ran to meet him. Put a robe on him, killed the fatted calf, made a feast. He said, "This my son was dead and now alive." Some do come to their senses. Some reach the point where they understand that they need to be in the kingdom of God as a servant. Some recognize that what their parents taught them is what they ought to be doing. Some never do. But we all have to make our own decisions, and we're responsible for our own decisions. Paul said to the Romans, we're going to give an account. He also said to the Corinthians, we're all going to give an account. Every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. You remember our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, having your conversation, that means your manner of life, honest among the Gentiles, then whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. People see what you're doing. They may not do as you do, but they know when you're doing what's right. They may behold your good works. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. They see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's never forget that we are given the grace of influence. Understand that faithfulness is required in using what we have been given. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's what stewards are supposed to be. Faithful. Faithful in all things to their master. This is a lifelong calling. It requires steadfastness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stewardship is a worthy calling. It's one of honor. Paul said to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Paul prayed that God would count them worthy of this calling. May we be counted worthy of this calling. This is indeed a calling that is worth a great deal. It's worth our life. It's worth a life of service, lifelong service, and will reward us with an eternity in heaven with God. That makes it a fulfilling calling. Paul will say in Romans chapter 15, beginning of verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. A fulfilling calling. God of all hope, fill you with joy, peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit given to us by God. That makes us a spiritual being. Yes, we're still flesh. But as Christians, we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Even non-Christians get a life of satisfaction from serving others. You see on the TV quite frequently during this particular pandemic that we're in and during the hurricanes and the fires in California and all the natural disasters, you see people giving of themselves to the point of exhaustion, helping others. Why? Because they find a satisfaction in doing for others. Should we look upon our lives with any less fulfillment? There's truly a fulfillment when this world is recognized as vain and empty. There's nothing in this world that we need or want from a spiritual standpoint. Yes, we need food and clothing, shelter, Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. But there's one thing that's more important than all of that. That he points out in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Stewardship is a very fulfilling life, serving each other and our fellow man. You remember what Jesus said when he was asked, which is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now listen to what he said then. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's what life's all about. Serving God, serving our fellow man. You remember when Jesus depicted the judgment scene? I was hungry, he gave me meat, thirsty, he gave me drink, naked, clothed, sick in the prison. He visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you like this? He said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Stewardship. The work of gospel preachers and all Christians also is to call people to service. This stewardship requires us to be humble, like a small child, ready to do the master's bidding. Whatever he says do, we're ready to do it. The question is, are we willing to humble ourselves in service to the Lord? Am I willing to be a faithful steward? Remember, only the faithful stewards were rewarded. We read there in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Good and faithful service. That's what it takes. Are we willing to give our lives, devote our lives to service to God so that we can be this good and faithful servant? In order that we can be rewarded by the God of heaven, when our life here on this earth is over, it may be that there are those in this audience this afternoon that recognize that they have not given themselves over to the Lord as a steward, as a bond servant. You can do that tonight if you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in him. You can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to his church, just like he did in Acts chapter 2. If you have obeyed the gospel and you realize that you haven't served as a faithful steward, you can return to the Lord just like the prodigal son did to his father. Acknowledge your sin, turn from them, and ask God to forgive you. He's promised that he will. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.